We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It is now 9:10 here at WCCO. Welcome to Center Stage. All things arts and entertainment, we just believe you ought to know about it. Thank you to Chan Hessen Dinner Theaters for presenting Center Stage every Sunday night. They have some great shows that are coming up at the Chan Hessen. You absolutely want to go and check it out. All you have to do is go to ChanHessenDT for dinnertheater.com. ChanHessenDT.com. All right. By the way, Hamilton continues at the Orpheum Theater through October 7th. Also, sometimes there's wine through October 14th at Park Square. Little Women is through October 21st at the Jungle Theater. And then, of course, Frankenstein Playing with Fire is the title, and it's running till October 27th at the Guthrie. In fact, we are going to begin this conversation tonight with that show because I find it absolutely fascinating that the Guthrie Theater has decided to put this on at this time. Some of you might think it's a little strange, but 2018 marks the 200th anniversary of Mary Shelley's novel Frankenstein and the 30th anniversary of Barbara Fields' adaptation. You may think it's only because it's Halloween month coming up here. Starting today. Tomorrow, and to celebrate, the Guthrie is presenting this piece, which has theater fans really talking about it. It is buzzing, and they're talking about the science and the ethical questions as well, because it makes us think. That's what theater does well. So just because we can create life, should we? To hear to talk about that with us is director of the Guthrie's production of Frankenstein, Playing with Fire. His name is Rob Melrose. Rob, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
I'm really excited that the Guthrie Theater is doing this piece because it is posing questions we really need to deal with today. And I'm sure that you are having talkbacks after this show, right?
Yeah. So, in fact, we had a talkback today, and there are talkbacks throughout the run. And people are finding them really engaging because the play asks a lot of really important questions for us to be asking today. Probably more important for us to be asking today, 200 years after Mary Shelley wrote the novel, because we're actually so much closer to creating these things that she was only dreaming about 200 years ago. But with gene editing and artificial intelligence,
and cloning,
we're closer than ever to this kind of stuff.
We really are. And these were some of the questions that were asked initially when the book came out 200 years ago. And to know that we are really starting that conversation again and knowing how important it is, because time is of essence for us to answer these questions before we get to the point where a Frankenstein has been created.
Yes, before it's too late. Exactly.
So in knowing that, what do you hope the audience will really take away from this? Other than those questions, those obvious questions that we know we need to answer, there is also more to this.
Yeah, yes. Well, I mean, from a science point of view, of course, there's the question of, just because we can do something, should we do something? And can we think of the consequences before we actually get to the point where we've, opened Pandora's box and released this new technology out to the world before we're ready for it. But then just your average person can also watch the play and just, it analyzes, a person's life and the mistakes he made and, how he kind of went chasing for career success over his personal relationships. And I think a lot of us can look at our lives and ask, when did we make those crucial decisions and what regrets we have afterwards.
Exactly. In fact, before we even start to answer those questions, I think we need to first deal with the question, who is the beast? Is it Frankenstein or the creator?
Absolutely. A lot of people will come to the play only familiar with the movies. And in the movies, the creature is mute, it's dumb, it just kind of roars. And what Mary Shelley actually envisioned way before the movies was a creature who is extremely intelligent, and in fact, even slightly more intelligent than a human being. Her creature is able to read Paradise Lost 2 years after birth. So this is a highly intelligent creature, and a creature that wants very much to be loved. And you learn that all the horrible things the creature does is out of a need of being loved. And the reason he's so angry and so frustrated is that his father, his creator, didn't love him, and he asks the questions, who's more monstrous, you or me?
You know, that even brings us to the question of dealing with Roe versus Wade, Roe v. Wade. The problem
yes.
here is bringing the life here, creating life, but then not taking care of life, not loving that life, not making sure that life is taken
yes.
care of and loved as they live and roam on this earth. So, it's,
yes.
you know, these are going to be questions that need to be had today. So I'm really excited that the Guthrie Theater is doing this. Now, let's take another look at who you've hired, who this cast is. Tell us who's starring.
Oh, it's an amazing cast. It's told in terms of memory and dreams. So it's made for this beautiful design. I have a team of designers who I've been working with for 20 years, and they've created this very surreal North Pole that's also kind of a fever dreamscape, and the memories come in little snatches. There's an older Frankenstein and creature and a younger Frankenstein and creature, and the older ones are discussing the choices that each made in their lives, and those are played by Elijah Alexander and Zach Fine, and they're two just powerhouse actors. They're on stage all 2 hours of the play and just absolutely hold their own and just never never let you catch your breath. They just advance this debate, you know, at a breakneck pace, and then in between their debate are these little snatches of memory. And Ryan Colbert and Amelia Pedlow play a couple in love, the young Frankenstein in love, and then Jason Rojas plays the younger creature called Adam, and then rounding out the cast is hilarious Robert Dorfman, who Guthrie audiences know quite well, and he plays the professor, and he does a lot for the play, but one thing he does is he brings a tremendous amount of comic relief and is just terrific.
And if the young Frankenstein is Adam, who is the creator? God?
Yes, yes.
Amazing. So many questions, so little time. Let's
yes.
talk about the content, because, of course, this is the buzz around this is so huge. People will want to bring their family. They might want to bring
yes.
their small children. What's age appropriate here?
You know, there's nothing really overly violent. You know, the violence is, you know, he tears apart the dead body that he's putting together for the bride of Frankenstein. But I think kids over 10 are going to be just fine at this play. And it's not, you know, it's not meant to be overly scary, and it's actually meant to be a play that you can bring your family to, and you know, enjoy the monster story with everybody, but also get into great debates with the family. So I think the whole family can come.
Okay, so Rob, you're freaking me out a little bit. Also, there's a content advisory on the website. It says this production contains strobe lights, haze. Of course, we expect that. But simulated gunshots and scenes depicting physical and sexual violence.
Yes, yes.
And it's for families, huh?
That's correct. Well, what happens, I can tell you exactly, you know, for families considering coming, because I do think, I mean, the Guthrie wants everybody to know what they're going to see. So the most violent scene is what I described, where there's a corpse on a palette that's being about to be brought to life, but instead he pulls apart the legs and the arms and throws them on the ground. And then the sexual violence is that young Frankenstein is with Elizabeth, and they start kissing, and he starts getting overly enthusiastic and pushes her to the ground,
uh-huh.
And she says, "Stop it! Not this way." She cuts it off, and he realizes that he's gone too far, which is very interesting because we contrast it with her with a later love scene, which is actually more tender, but it's something that it's from someone you wouldn't expect. I don't want to ruin any surprises, mm-hmm. but we're purposely trying to contrast those two love scenes.
Wow, after the Kavanaugh.
yes.
I mean, really?
yes. From everything we heard this weekend in the hearings, what we do on the Guthrie stage isn't even close to what we've heard Kavanaugh doing. So it's much more tame than that. So people can rest easy.
Fascinating. Absolutely yes. Fascinating. If people want more information, and you got to go see it. If you're going to talk about it, go see it so you know what you're talking about. It's totally
Absolutely.
Different from the book. So go and check this piece out. I want a poster. Can I just tell you that right now?
The posters are fantastic.
Okay, I want the poster.
Done such a great job. It's a big image of the monster, but inside the monster is the man.
The creator, absolutely. Oh, the man, okay.
It's wonderful.
Wow, incredible. I would like a copy of that. I just want you to know.
And they're T-shirts, too, and I have a T-shirt. I was just running in mine today, and I wear it with pride.
It's remarkable. Frankenstein, Playing with Fire, is playing right now. If people want more information, where do they go?
Go to the Guthrie website.
All right, Guthrie Theater.
Just look up the Guthrie Theater online. And the Guthrie website has plenty of information. There are videos, there are photos, and a way to buy tickets as well.
Perfect. Rob, thank you so much for joining us here tonight.
Thank you. It was great talking with you.
You too, sir. All right, GuthrieTheater.org is where you go. This is worth seeing. All right, we're going to take a break, and Rohan Preston is next. Well, now it's time for my favorite theater critic, Rohan Preston, is joining us from the Star Tribune. Hey, Ro.
How are you?
I'm doing great. I talked to the Frank Theater last week, Wendy, and they talked about The Visit. You had a chance to go see this piece.
I did, and I was really, really impressed.
You were really impressed. Okay, first of all, I want to know about, I think that this particular piece is showing us, if we judge, we shall be judged. Because, you know, this woman got pregnant early, people judged her, and then she left town, came back very rich, and they needed her money.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, but it's kind of a vengeance story. I mean, this is the, you know, we all carry things with us that happened in childhood or in adolescence, and she's coming back, almost at the end of her life. She's, you know, coming up on her eighth husband.
Eighth husband. That's right. You do it till you get it right, honey. There you go.
I know. And she's very wealthy, and the town is poor, and they covet her money. And so, yeah, from there, it's like, what will you do to get this money? Will he give me justice or my sense of justice, you know?
Okay, and the Minnesota Transportation Museum, where is that?
It's in St. Paul, not far from the Capitol. It has trains and other things from, you know, in terms of transportation, but also the kind of a smell of grease and engines. And so that adds to the sense of being transported, as it were,
right,
into the story.
If people want to go see this, of course, get your tickets now. Do you know when it closes?
Yes. It goes on. So it opened this weekend, and it goes until October 21st.
Okay.
And Wendy Knox is the director. Catherine Ferrand plays the lady Claire, who's Madame Claire, who comes back, and seeks the head of her lover when she was old.
Right. Now, you also had a chance to go and see the piece over at Park Square Theater called Delve Deeper into the Agitators, right?
Yes. The Agitators is about both Susan B. Anthony and Frederick Douglass. Matt Smart is a playwright for that, and Emily Gunnell Hollis and Mikhail Sapp are the actors who play the two. It's an interesting piece because it's really a piece about history, but it's about today, mm-hmm. About activism, about culture. It's a hard piece, too, because it's really a piece about ideas, and specifically political ideas. And so you get a sense, they talk about other people, loves and family and all of that, and they are very intimate, these two historical figures, as friends. Mm-hmm. But you sort of miss them being rounded out, as you know, you miss Frederick Douglass looking at his kids and talking to his kids off stage, and you sort of miss that intimacy with his wife. You know, there's a scene where the family, Douglass's home has been bombed or burnt to the ground, and he doesn't really express enough care for his family, for me, in that scene. It's
okay.
Just like he puts it in context of talking about ideas and freedom and all of that, which is good, but it doesn't bring it to the kind of emotional pitch that I would have expected in a situation like that.
Interesting.
Do you know what I mean?
Interesting. In fact, you know, when you read about Delve Deeper into the Agitators at Park Square Theater, it says nothing changes if people are not talking about it. And it's so
right.
True. This is where we are today, right? Whether we
yeah.
are talking about our country, politics, family, you name it, nothing can get done if we're not talking about it.
That's true. And this, you know, it's what's interesting about it is that it does lift up a historical piece. And you can tell that it's influenced by Hamilton, because not just the sense of history, but also the interstitial music is very up to date with both Nina Simone and Kendrick Lamar, and some of the images,
very cool.
of contemporary protests, and
very
so on and
cool.
so forth. So the picture frames come alive and come to today in this piece.
Well, it's called The Agitators. It's on stage through October 28th at Park Square Theater. While you're there, also make sure you get your tickets to go see Sometimes There's Wine, which is a good chance to laugh. So you also want to do that. All you got to do is go to Park Square Theater with a T-R-E at the end, parksquaretheater.org. It's always a pleasure. I wish we had time to get to your other,
it's a joy. Thank
your other choice.
You so much.
It's great to talk to you, sir.
Okay. All right.
All thanks. Right. Bye. We'll be back in just a moment. It is now 9:37 here at WCCO. Welcome back. You are listening to Center Stage, and I'm your host, Geraldine Steele. It is what I love to do is talk about all of the things that are happening in the arts community. And tonight we have in studio a brand new theater. I like to call it brand new. I think it's their second year, and it's called Prime Productions. Their motto, we seek to explore, illuminate, and support women over 50, hey now, and their stories through the creative voice of performance. Joining me in studio are three beautiful women that can do exactly this. We have Nora Long, Jennifer Whitlock, and director Shelley Place all in studio tonight to talk about their new venture, the new piece that they are opening. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you.
All right, Shelley, you said you wanted to do this. This was your dream, you know, over a year ago, 2 years now, and here you are. How does it feel?
Here we are.
How does it feel?
It feels a little overwhelming sometimes. But, you know, when you have a theater like the Guthrie mm-hmm. calling you up and saying, we'd like to talk. And also our next production, the same thing happened with Richard Cook at Park Square. So we went from a one production and both of these theaters saw our last production, our first inaugural production, mm-hmm. Little Wars at Mixed Blood. Mm-hmm. And based on that, We went from one production and three staged readings to now two full productions in our second year. And it's amazing.
Congratulations to
Thank
you. That's a really big deal. And by the way, you are very good at starting partnerships and continuing those relationships. I know you, so I know how you do that. So well done.
Thank you.
So this particular piece, tell us a little bit about it.
Well, this piece, it met all the criteria of what Prime is about. It had two fabulous roles for women over 50, mm-hmm. Roles that were not necessarily two women sitting around talking about men.
Mm-hmm.
Not that there's anything wrong with that, but these women are smart. They are sassy. They are sexy. And they're just terrific parts. One, Nora plays a paleoclimatologist. Yeah, try to say that three times.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Mm-hmm. You have played so many different roles, Nora. It's just so awesome. And?
Jennifer plays a U.S. Senator.
Hey, now.
Hey, yeah. Hey.
A woman of a lot of power. sitting
perfect
on
timing.
The committee for climate change.
How about that? Wow. So, how about that? So this takes a revealing look at how the inability to change can have that critical repercussions on everyone and everything around us, right?
It does. It deals with not only the science, but the politics mm-hmm. behind getting science done. I mean, our political climate now is so polarized, mm-hmm. and I use that word on purpose because it's the different extremes. But also,
and do these two characters represent that extreme?
Not necessarily, but in the action of the play, mm-hmm. there is Nora's character, she can talk more about it, but she's gone through a personal loss and she is frozen in her
emotional state.
And yeah, that's a good way of putting
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Emotional state. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And who was this written by?
This is written by a wonderful woman of a certain age called Tira Palmquist, mm-hmm. and she will be in town this week for the opening.
For the opening.
And she will be doing a talk back after the Sunday matinee.
Excellent. And I was going to ask you that because this sounds perfect for a talk back. Nora, tell me a little bit about your character.
Well, Emma Phelps she's a very intelligent, obviously, as a paleoclimatologist, a very intelligent woman, but also a woman who is dealing with some personal loss, dealing with some just sort of issues of her own that are paralleling in certain ways her journey with this trip to Washington, D.C. She's there to testify in front of the Oversight Committee on climate change, sharing her expertise, but she's going through this, I don't know, to me, this piece feels allegorical mm-hmm. as well as literal because she is going through her own,
her own melting. Exactly. And so this is really apropos for today. This is what's happening today,
yeah.
right? And the people trying to deal with this still have to deal with their personal lives. And then there's the senator. And
yeah.
Jennifer, in order to be that politician, do you come off as being caring? And how do you do it? How do you study? Well, you've got so many examples, of course, our own, you know, Senator Klobuchar. Tell me how you deal with this particular character.
Well, it's very interesting because, again, in the space that we're living in today, you're watching it day in, day out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the senator in this space, I want her to be caring. Of course, I bring Emma in. Mm-hmm. I've been talking to, using Jennifer terms, the knuckleheads of the advisory committee for years and trying to get them to understand and open and see the space that's there.
Mm-hmm.
So my getting ready for, in a sense, is pushing kind of what I do by day in corporate America
mm-hmm.
and trying to drive change that needs to happen, trying to open the eyes and the ears of those around us to recognize the devastation that can be occurring if we don't do something now and
mm-hmm.
make a change.
It really is the urgency of it all, right? It's the urgency. And how are you working in this particular piece, Shelley, to make sure that that message is heard?
Well, the piece is set in three particular places. It's set in Greenland.
Mm-hmm.
It's set in Boulder, Colorado, where she teaches, and it's set in Washington. And the the amazing thing about this play is that it travels through her mind to all of these places. Some of them are flashbacks, and it moves constantly. Mm-hmm. So a couple of things we've done to help this along is we have a series of projections that take us places.
Okay.
We also have a Broadway composer that named Kevin Farrell, who has composed Emma's theme, we're calling it, and different variations of that theme that will travel throughout. So there's
that's clever.
It's got a nice touch to it. That touches the heart.
People want eye candy a lot when it comes to theater, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just saw Hamilton, and wow. Yet there are those pieces where you don't need any of that, right? You don't have to have a whole lot of eye candy. You just need to understand and be able to travel with it. So I think it's really clever what you're
doing. I always say that anything technical like that is meant to complement the actor,
right?
Not to compete with
the actor.
So
right.
That's part of the. It's a fine line, and and we move into the theater on Tuesday, and we'll start to that balancing act.
And this is happening in the Guthrie's Dowling.
Yes, it
studio.
Is.
Wow, congratulations! This is going to be big. I cannot wait to see it. I have to go and see this. This is playing until.
It's playing until it opens on the 5th, and it plays
Friday.
Until the 21st.
Till the 21st, 5th through the 21st. Again, it's called 2 Degrees, and you gotta go see this. Shelley has been doing a remarkable job with Prime Productions. She kept saying she's gonna do it. She did it, and this is again working with the Guthrie Theater, and then coming up Park Square.
Can I just mention our two wonderful leading men as well?
Oh, they're leading men.
Oh, yes.
I'm definitely coming.
Oh, yes, there are leading men, and they are fabulous. Joel Lessman, who you all know from the Guthrie, is there. And there's a gentleman that you might not know whose name is Toussaint Morrison.
Ah.
And he does a lot of spoken word. He's just come off the a tour of hip-hop and R&B. Interesting fact, every single person in the cast is a fabulous singer, and there's not a note being sung at all.
No,
they're all getting their acting chops on, and I'm very proud of that.
Well, you've got some good ones, that's for sure. Congratulations to all of you.
Thank you. I'm coming
to see the show. I'm really going to work hard to come see the show, and blessings. This is a message that needs to take place, and I want to come when there's a talk back. Is there a talk back every night?
No, but there is one. There's the one with Tira on the 7th. And then there's one with the ladies of Prime, the three co-founders, on the 12th. And then there is one with a paleontologist.
Oh.
Yes. Dr. Louisa Brattmiller. And she will be there Friday the 19th. And for those people who need assistance for hearing or sign language or open caption, we have that all together on the 20th, a matinee.
Well, congratulations. I'm really looking forward to seeing you, Jennifer. Nora.
Thanks,
Wow, Shelley. Thank you so much for coming in studio.
Thanks.
Thank you much.
All right, coming up next will be our final guest in Center Stage Hour. We'll be back in a moment. It is now 9:50 here at WCCO, and we are finishing up our conversation tonight with an organization that is becoming really important to me. It's the 2018 Cultural Jambalaya Diversity Awards that's happening at the Metropolitan Ballroom. And Gail Shore, founder of the organization, is here in studio with me, along with one of the award winners. And you don't want to miss out on this conversation, because what she is doing is really important. So grab your friends and family and bring them on over to the radio. It's good to see you, Gail.
You too.
Okay, Cultural Jambalaya, I had never heard of it before. I've been knowing you for years, and you introduced this to me. Tell us a little bit about it.
So Cultural Jambalaya is a volunteer-run nonprofit that uses global photography in the classroom to broaden worldviews of students. And the photography we create videos that is based on my photography and stories from traveling around the world for more than 40 years. And we offer these videos to anybody, but particularly to teachers, without charge. And it's a wonderful teaching tool for them to help break down cultural barriers, to ignite conversations about people and places that are in the videos. And we learn that we're more alike than we are different.
It's so true. And you really take care in making sure that these videos, these pictures invoke emotions. They help us see the rest of the world, people from other places and times even. And they help us see that we're really all one as a human race. How are the teachers able to teach from that perspective? Are you a part of the curriculum as well when they have this this video to use?
We don't provide a curriculum because that pretty much tells teachers that they have to use it a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all created according to Minnesota teaching standards. So that we, you know, we talk about everything from World Heritage Sites to families to religion to traditions and rituals and all kinds of things that make up culture.
We used to have so much of that in a lot of the public schools specifically, but we've been finding that some teachers or some administrations in private schools specifically are pulling back on that, on some of that.
A lot of it has been cut, yeah.
Right? And so have you been able to go into some of these schools and say, this is something that you need to really convince them, to help them understand the power of it?
Well, one of the things is that teachers are crying for resources that are free. And to my knowledge, there isn't anybody that provides these kinds of photography resources without charge. So they're really anxious to use them in that respect.
So the Cultural Jambalaya is here to really inform others about what you do, the successes of what you do, to celebrate, and also to present winners. Tell me about the winners and how you came up with some of the titles.
So this is the first year that we are holding our diversity awards.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had nominations that went out statewide and had an independent panel of judges. And we had the very difficult decision. I was not on the judges panel, but the judges had their they were wringing their hands trying to determine the winners because there were some really wonderful candidates.
Mm-hmm. And of course, we don't have as much time as I'd like to have tonight. But Nosheena is in studio with us. Nosheena Hussain is the executive director of Reviving the Islamic Sisterhood for Empowerment, or an acronym that reads as RISE of Minneapolis. Welcome to WCCO. Nosheena.
Thank you so much for having me.
So tell us what this award means to you, a diversity award.
Well, in a time where negative rhetoric is dividing our country, this award really showcases an attempt to sort of bridge and honor the people who are trying to make an effort in providing more positive alternative perspectives.
And it really is more than trying, isn't it? I mean, you are accomplishing this. This is why you are one of the diversity winners.
Yeah. So for us, you know, we are here to amplify the voice and power of Muslim women. And as you can imagine, Muslim women always seem to have a very negative rap about who we are. And it's always because somebody else is telling our stories for us. So we are now on a mission to really take back that narrative by telling our stories ourselves. And so we've created a storytelling project called Muslim Shiras of Minnesota. And it highlights everyday change makers within our communities to tell positive stories about the work that we are doing in our community.
Are you also partnering with other outside communities as well?
Well, for now, we are actually focusing right within the community itself because it's so diverse, right? Whether, you know, Muslim women aren't just found in the Arab world. You know, they're from East Africa. They're from the subcontinent, India. They're from all across the world. And so it's really nice to showcase the diversity of what our community represents.
And there are several other diversity winners as well. Can you give us their names real
quickly?
Yes,
I can. So in addition to RISE, there are four student leaders from Hopkins High School, the Indian Education Department, which is part of Minneapolis Public Schools, and an ethnic studies teacher by the name of Nate Beulah. And he's from Northeast Middle School. So these are the four winners that we're going to recognize Thursday night.
Different ages. Different.
Oh, yeah,
that's really cool. And this is what year for you doing this?
This is our first year.
Your first year having the diversity awards. That's amazing that you're a part of that. So this is big. And I hope that your community will be encouraged to even do bigger things. You know, there will be others inside of your community that will go out and do even bigger things.
Absolutely.
So congratulations to winning this.
Thank you.
The event is sold out.
Mm-hmm.
But we want people to really learn about Cultural Jambalaya and what you do and why you do it, Gail.
Well, like I said, I think that photography is the perfect medium to try to get people to just take a look at other people and examine that we are more alike than we are different. Photography is just great for that. And the photos that we provide in our videos are from all over the world, from cultures all over the world. They also focus on a lot of places that are difficult to travel to, places that you might not travel to, places that you might not even find on a map. But people everywhere are basically all the same. And it's just really been a joy to put together this video series and have a chance to showcase that.
You know, pictures can tell the story very clearly. Just one picture can make us think. And I'm so glad that you're doing this. If people want more information about Culture Jambalaya, where do they go?
They can go to our website, culturaljam.org. And I might just say, too, even though we're sold out on Thursday night, mm-hmm. it's just the dinner portion that's sold out. So if someone did want to attend and buy a ticket, they can go to our website and still do that.
Excellent. Thank you so much for coming in studio as well.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in a moment.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.